This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Inna alhamdulillahi na'hmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nasta'khfiruhu wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu falamudillala wa man yudlil falahadiyala. Wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la wa ashhadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu amma ba'du fa inna asdaqal hadith kitabullah wa khayral huda huda muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam wa sharral umuri muhdathatuha wa kullu muhdathatin bid'ah wa kulla bid'atin dhalalatin wa kulla dhalalatin finnar. After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending immense greetings and salutations upon the final Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, we find a concept inside the Quran of delivering things or the themes inside the Quran in pairs. The Quran travels in the journey bayn al-wa'di wal-wa'id, between giving a promise and giving a stern warning about carrying out certain actions. The Qur'an carries on a journey between being bashir wa nadhir, between giving glad tidings and warning individuals. The Qur'an carries a journey bayn at-targhibi wa tarheeb, between warning, encouraging people to do certain actions and to stay away from certain actions. So this Qur'an has this element of zawjiyah, of placing things in pairs. Just like the Qur'an talks about ahmiyatul iman, the importance of iman, the Qur'an also talks about the avoidance of staying away from kufr, wa shirku billahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, the messenger came following that same pattern as well, giving people the glad tidings and warning mankind as well. As the Quran mentions, Ya ayyuha an-nabiyyu inna arsalnaka shahidan wa mubashshiran wa nadhira. O Prophet, indeed we have sent you as a witness over mankind, over humanity. And likewise we have sent you to give glad tidings and to warn people, etc. As we find is amongst the tasks of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. Inna arsalnaka bilhaqqi bashiran wa nadhira. Indeed we sent you with the truth, with the Qur'an, to give people the glad tidings and to warn them. Likewise, we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has emplaced the concept of zawjiyah, of pairs, upon this earth as well. وَمِن كُلِّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقْنَا زَوْجَيْنِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ. Indeed, everything has been created in pairs that you may ponder and reflect and take heed. Whether it be the heavens and the earth, the land and the ocean, the sun and the moon, male and female, etc. that we find. And likewise we find umurul ghaybiyah, the affairs of the unseen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also created elements of pairs. What we find, heaven and hell. Wa anna al-jannata haqq wa an-naru haqq. Indeed, paradise is a reality, is a truth. And likewise jahannam and nar, the fire, the punishment, etc. is also a reality created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So after listening to the ayat of mercy, the ayat of returning back, of having the bushra, the good things that the believers will be given, so our task is to go to the opposite direction, to remind people about if we begin to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and those individuals who have disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is any or what will be the ending of such any individuals. Because many Muslims even today begin to overemphasize the concept of mercy, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the all-merciful, the compassionate, the kind, and people begin to rely upon that. People become complacent that I can sin and make mistakes and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will pardon me. Yes, that is partially true, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala فَيُعَذِّبُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَغْفِرُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive whomever he wants, and he can punish whomever he wants, subhanahu wa ta'ala. But one should not just rely upon that and begin to live a life of ma'asi, of dhunub, of disobedience, and think that no, there will be no recompense or no questioning by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also we find, how could we not study any such a topic when it is any very important for the individual any to save themselves from this punishment? As the Quran mentions at Surah Al-Tahrim, the 66th chapter of the Quran, verse number 6, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara wa quduha an-nasu wal hijara alayha malaikatun ghilazun shidad la ya'suna Allah ma amarahum wa yaf'aluna ma yu'marun. Oh, you believe, qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. Oh, you believe, save yourselves and your family members from the hellfire, whose fuel is nothing less but men and stones. Upon it is stern and harsh angels who are guarding over it. لا يأسون الله ما أمرهم ويفعلون ما يؤمرون. Who never ever disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they carry out whatever commandments or instructions have been given to them. Likewise, the Quran, it mentions that those individuals will be the losers on the Day of Judgment. As the Quran documents, قال الله تعالى قل إن الخاسرين الذين خسروا أنفسهم. Say, those individuals who are the losers on that day, who lose themselves and lose their family members, وأهليهم يوم القيامة, and lose their family members on the Day of Judgment, ألا ذلك هو الخسران المبين. Indeed, that is the ultimate loss. That a person loses themselves, doesn't save themselves, and doesn't take effort to save their family members. Obviously, we know according to the Quran, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتُ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. You cannot guide whom you love. But the person needs to take the effort to deliver the message to the people that are close to them. Thus the Prophet Muhammad, following his sunnah and his methodology, save yourself, save the people around you, and then become the individual qum fa'andir, then come out and warn the rest of humanity and the people around you. Likewise, you find amongst the characteristics of the servants, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Al-Furqan, وَعِبَادُ رَحْمَنِ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنَا وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. عِبَادُ رَحْمَنِ, servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, walk upon the earth in a state of humility. If people molest them, jest at them, pester them, say things towards them, what do they say? قَالُوا سَلَامًا. Till eventually it comes to these characteristics that concern us. And you can read the rest of the characteristics towards the end of Surah Al-Furqan that we find, whereby Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that this is the supplication. وَالَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا اصْرِفْ عَنَّا عَذَابَ جَهَنَّمَ إِنَّ عَذَابَهَا كَانَ غَرَامًا إِنَّهَا سَاءَتْ مُسْتَقَرًّا وَمُقَامًا. The believers are those individuals, the supplication. This is the supplication. O our Lord, you need divert or take away from us. Take us away from the punishment of Jahannam. إِنَّ عَذَابَهَا كَانَ غَرَامًا. Indeed, its punishment is a grievous penalty upon whoever enters into Jahannam. إِنَّهَا سَاءَتْ مُسْتَقَرًّا وَمُقَامًا. Indeed, his punishment of Jahannam is an evil abode and a resting place. Likewise, we find another location addressing the characteristics of the believers that we find, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ مِنْ عَذَابِ رَبِّهِمْ مُشْفِقُونَ. Indeed, the believers are those individuals who fear the punishment. إِنَّ عَذَابَ رَبِّهِمْ غَيْرُ مَأْمُونَ. Indeed, the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is nothing that a person should be relentless or feeling that they are secure, that they will not be exposed to this punishment. Likewise, you find amongst the prayers of the believers, رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ مَنْ تُدْخِلِ النَّارَ فَقَدْ أَخْزَيْتَ وَمَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِنْ أَنصَارِ. Our Lord, whoever you enter into the hellfire, you have disgraced that individual. That individual, be disgraced individual, a wretched individual who's entered into the fire. And thus Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions at the end of Surah Al-Imran, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ دَاعِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ. Every single soul, living thing will taste death. فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازْ وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاءُ الْغُرُورِ. Whoever is rescued from the hellfire, فَقَدْ فَازَ. That is the ultimate success for the believer. And what is this world? Nothing less but a great big deception of taking the iman and drifting the individual away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he has laid out his creation, but before that we find that those individuals who don't know the distinction between good and bad, that at times we have to study that which is evil or that which is incorrect to better oneself. And that's when a person in his studies, knowledge, al-ilm al-shar'i, Islamic knowledge and sciences, is to drift a person away from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. when a person knows that which is halal, that which is haram, the person strives to do that which is halal, and a person strives to stay away from that which is haram, to become closer and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the real intent, that some of us don't understand, what is the real intent of ilmu shar'i? Some of us think it is just to master certain sciences, etc. The real intent of Islamic sciences is at-taqarrub ila Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As the Quran mentions, innama yakhsha Allah min ibadihi al-ulama. People who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the ulama, men of understanding, women of understanding, implementing that what they know to the best of their ability. Unlike today that we find it becomes great slogans and titles and certification that we find, doesn't mean much in the kingdomship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person is trying to save themselves from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the tawfiq and ability to the individual to share those words and to help other individuals, فَهَذَا فَضْلٌ مِنَ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. This is a great virtue and a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, the Arab poet, he wrote the lines of poetry, عَرَفْتُ الشَّرَّ لِلشَّرِّ. And I learned evil, and for the sake of not to fall into that evil, وَلَكِنْ لِتَلَافِيهِ, but rather indeed to stay away from it. Whoever does not know the distinction between good and evil, جَدِيرْ أَنْ يَقَعَ فِيهِ, will eventually fall into evil. So that's why sometimes living in this society that we find, sometimes a person has to study the evil around them, and obviously the evil here being Jahannam, that a person needs to study it to be able to avoid it. If you don't know this distinction between good and bad, one day you could possibly fall into that bad because you don't know the distinction between the two. And likewise find Hudayfa radiallahu anhu asking about what the bad things, the bad affairs, what would begin to take place. So on this basis, the Muslim studies Jahannam to be able to equip oneself to be able to stay away from Jahannam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already created Jahannam. This is the creed of Ahl Sunnah. It is a deviant view that we find that some people amongst the Mu'tazila, as Imam al-Tahawi in his Aqidah al-Tahawiyah mentioned, that some people believe that Jahannam will be created on the Day of Judgment. The stance or the creed of Ahl Sunnah is that Jannah and Jahannam have already been created for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They try to go into a theological debate about what is the need of creating paradise and hellfire. No one's going to be inside there. It's just lying there. Just happens to be a stagnant there. But as far as Ahl Sunnah is concerned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already created Jannah and Jahannam. وَاتَّقُوا النَّارَ الَّتِي أُعِدَّتْ لِلْكَافِرِينَ. Fear that fire, أُعِدَّتْ لِلْكَافِرِينَ. Fear that fire which has already been prepared for the disbelieving individuals. إِنَّ جَهَنَّمَ كَانَتْ مِرْصَادَ لِلطَّاغِينَ مَآبًا. Indeed, Jahannam is already lying in wait, a place, a destination for the people who transgress. Likewise, by numerous ahadith in Bukhari and Muslim, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created paradise and hell and sent Jibreel to go look at it. So it's talking about the past tense, when it was already created. So Jibreel came, saw Jahannam and saw the punishment, saw the pain, etc. and said, whoever sees it, want to stay away from it. Whoever sees Jannah, want to dive straight into Jannah. And then we know, حُفَّتِ النَّارُ بِالشَّهَوَاتِ وَهُفَّتِ الْجَنَّةُ بِالْمَكَارِحِ. Then it was said that surround Jahannam with shahawat, with desires, with temptations. Every single path of temptation, desires, opens the doors of becoming closer and closer towards Jahannam. And the path for paradise, there are many, many obstacles in the path of paradise. Person needs to overcome the obstacles to eventually enter into paradise. Paradise isn't something cheap. The person just stroll into paradise whenever they feel like strolling into. There has to be certain actions the person needs to overcome. What are the difficulties? Imam An-Nawi highlights inside the explanation, his hadith inside Sahih Muslim, that there are four elements a person needs to overcome the obstacles. Firstly, he mentions al-ijtihad fil ibadat. Person needs to become vigilant in the ibadat, the daily prayers, fasting, performance of hajj. You need to overcome them. These are the hurdles that come continuously. Person needs to focus upon them. Hafidhu ala salawati wa salatil wusta wa qumu lillahi qanitin. Guard your prayers, preserve your prayers, especially the middle prayer. Stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a state of observance. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. Successful are the believers. Who are the believers who are successful inside the beginning ayat of Surah Al-Mu'minun? Those who are devoted inside their prayers, committed towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which today we find that unfortunately some Muslims find it trivial. They talk about other greater issues. The whole basis, the foundation of Islam after belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is as-salah. Al-ahdu alladhi baynana wa baynahum as-salah. Faman tarakaha faqad kafar. The covenant between us and them is the prayer. Whoever breaks that covenant, whoever stays away from the prayer, that individual has committed disbelief. The second obstacle that we find that Imam Nawawi mentioned centuries ago is qadhmul ghayz, to be able to swallow your anger. So some of us may be good Muslims, we pray punctually, we observe the five daily prayers, but some of these characteristics are missing from us. We're never taught these characteristics. Qadhmul ghayz, to be able to swallow one's anger, is another characteristic. The person overcomes this, able to control their anger, they're heading on a path towards Jannah. The third characteristic that we find, wal-afu, to be able to forgive people. Because some people can swallow their anger, but they're unable to forgive. And as the Quran mentions, the sifat of the muttaqoon, who will inherit paradise, they are those individuals, الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ, those who spend their wealth in good times and difficult times. وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ, those who swallow their anger. وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. These characteristics, many of us have forgotten these characteristics as Muslims. That some of us could pray, we could even spend our wealth, but swallowing one's anger, pardoning people, overlooking mistakes of people, overlooking what comments that people make towards us. These are characteristics, are deep characteristics, which will help the individual come closer and closer towards paradise. The fourth obstacle he mentions is as-sabr an ash-shahawat, to be able to have patience to stay away from temptations and desires. Every time a person breaks their desires, breaks their temptations, stays away from them, the person becomes closer and closer towards paradise. The more a person falls into temptations, falls into fujur, into sinfulness, fusuq, rebellious behavior, into ma'asi, dhunub, becomes closer and closer towards the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, we find that, as we mentioned, those individuals who reject that the Jahannam has already been created. Anyhow, the names that have been mentioned inside the Quran, that many ulama have collected and placed them together, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inna jahannama kanat mirsada. Indeed, Jahannam is lying in wait. So the first name that we find inside the Quran is Jahannam. Seven names have been collected inside the Quran. First name being Jahannam. The second name that we find, kalla innaha lava nazza'atan lishawa. Nazza'atan lishawa, lava, by no means that we find that this fire burning away right into the skull of the individual. The third name that we find is al-hutama. Kalla la yunbadanna fil hutama wa ma adraka mal hutama. نَارُ اللَّهِ الْمُوْقَدَةَ الَّتِي تَطَّلِعُ عَلَى الْأَفْئِدَةَ. So al-hutama, the crushing fire, is the third name of the hellfire. The fourth name that we find, فَرِيقٌ فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَفَرِيقٌ فِي السَّعِيرِ. A group of people will be inside paradise rejoicing, and a group of people will be inside السَّعِير. السَّعِير is another name for Jahannam. سَأُسْلِيهِ سَقَرْ وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا سَقَرْ لَا تُبْقِي وَلَا تَذَرْ لَوَّاحَةٌ لِلْبَشَرْ. So سَقَرْ is another name of Jahannam. It permits nothing to endure, and it leaves nothing alone. Another passage in the Quran that we find, it will be said to these individuals, what has made you enter into Saqar? Why are you here inside Saqar, inside Jahannam? قَالُوا لَمْ نَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُصَلِّينَ وَلَمْ نَكُمْ نُطْعِمُ الْمِسْكِينَ وَكُنَّا نَخُوضُ مَعَ الْخَاعِدِينَ وَكُنَّا نُكَذِّبُ بِيَوْمِ الدِّينَ حَتَّى أَتَانَ الْيَقِينَ. So these people say, why are we here in Jahannam, inside Saqar? The reasons are given. قَالُوا لَمْ نَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُصَلِّينَ. We never bothered to pray. Couldn't be bothered to offer our prayers. We never used to feed the poor individuals. We used to be wasting our time with those people who squander their time. وَكُنَّا نُكَذِّبُ بِيَوْمِ الدِّينَ. We rejected the final day. حَتَّى أَتَانَ الْيَقِينَ. Until the reality came down upon us. So the more weaker your conviction regarding the last day, the more weaker the person's actions will become, the more weaker the journey will become in returning back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَلَّيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى وَأَنَّ سَعْيَهُ سَوْفَ يُرَى. Man will only have that which he strives for, or she strives for. And your striving, you will see it at the end. It will be shown by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala what every single individual was striving for. The sixth name that we find, وَبُرِّزَتِ الْجَحِيمُ لِلْغَاوِينَ. Al-Jahim, that we find, Al-Jahim will be brought forth for those who are straying in evil, is the sixth name, of the hellfire. The seventh name that we find, وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَفَّتْ مَوَازِينُهُ فَأُمُّهُ هَاوِيَ وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا هِيَ نَارٌ حَامِيَ. So هَاوِيَ, the bottomless pit, that has no ending, that is the seventh name of Jahannam. So some books have begun to place that these are the seven stages of Jahannam, by making the first stage to be Jahannam, then Lava, then Hutama, then Sa'ir, then Saqar, then Al-Jahim, then Hawiyah. These are the seven grades of Jahannam. But it should be safely mentioned here that there is no proof for this division. There's no proof, authentic proof from the Ahadith. This is just some ijtihad that some ulama have made, you know, talking about these names and made these grades, you know, of Jahannam. As far as we are concerned, there are only seven names of Jahannam which we mentioned, you know, inside the Quran. As for the location, you know, of Jahannam that we find, you find in some works talking about whether it exists in the lower earth, underneath the earth, that we find the lava, etc. underneath us. Is it in the heavens? And the safest stance that Imam Suyuti mentioned, that there is no sound proof. So a person, you know, refrains from discussing where is the location of Jahannam. وَالْعِلْمُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى, the location of Jahannam, what will begin to take place, or where it will come from on that final day, etc. Likewise, we find when an individual comes to the gates of Jahannam, even before a person comes close to the gates, we find that the sparks of Jahannam are spitting out, yani of Jahannam, as the Quran describes, إِنَّهَا تَرْمِي بِشَرَرٍ كَالْقَصَرِ, indeed that you find the sparks are coming out like a castle. So you can imagine the size of a castle is the size of the sparks that will be springing out of Jahannam, كَأَنَّهُ جِمَالَةٌ صُفَرٌ, as if they are great big yellow camels. So that's the size of a spark that will be thrown out of Jahannam even before a person comes close to the gates of Jahannam. As for the gates of hell, the Quran mentions, وَإِنَّ جَهَنَّمَ لَمَوْعِدُهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ, indeed their maw'id, their time of appointed meeting of all of these individuals who disbelieve, etc., will be Jahannam. لَهَا سَبْعَةُ أَبْوَابٍ, it will have seven gates, seven points of entry to enter into Jahannam. لِكُلِّ بَابٍ مِّنْهُمْ جُزْءٌ مَقْصُومٌ, and every single door of entry, just like Jannah has doors of entry for different individuals, likewise Jahannam will have sections for different types of people to enter into, yani Jahannam. As Ibn Kathir begins to mention in his tafsir, that different individuals will be allotted to enter, yani, into, yani, different parts of, yani, Jahannam. Likewise, you find when a person arrives, you need to Jahannam, and the gates will open, you find the end of Surah Az-Zumar, that we find the 39th chapter of the Quran, وَسِيقَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِلَى جَهَنَّمَ زُمَرًا, people will be brought, the disbelieving individuals will be brought in groups in front of Jahannam, حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءُوهَا, thus when they come to the gates of Jahannam, فُتِحَتْ أَبْوَابُهَا, the doors of Jahannam will just be flung open for them. There will be no istiqbaliyah. There will be no reception for these individuals, just the doors will be flung open and will be thrown into it. Because if you look at the difference between this, وَسِيقَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا رَبَّهُمْ إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ زُمَرًا حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءُوهَا وَفُتِحَتْ, as for the people of Jannah, same ayat I mentioned, but the only difference is وَفُتِحَتْ, a difference of waw is placed there. And here the ulama tafasir begin to mention, what is the distinction? Why has it been mentioned futihat for Jahannam, and for paradise it mentioned wa futihat? And here they mention, this is lil istiqbaliyah, that when you're about to give a prize to someone, or you're about to present someone, you pause to give them honor and dignity, and then you present it to them. So people come to Jannah, there'll be a slight pause, and then the doors of Jannah will slowly open for them to enter into paradise to show what they've achieved. As for people of Jahannam, futihat fawran, there's no respect for these individuals, just dragged and thrown, yani, into Jahannam. وَقَالَ لَهُمْ خَزَنَتُهَا, and the people who are in charge, yani, of Jahannam will say to them, أَلَمْ يَأْتِكُمْ رُسُلٌ مِّنْكُمْ يَتْلُونَ عَلَيْكُمْ آيَاتِ رَبِّكُمْ وَيُنذِرُونَكُمْ لِقَاءَ يَوْمِكُمْ هَذَا, قَالُوا بَلَى, did not a messenger come to you and warn you about this day, about this meeting? They will say in the affirmative, yes, a messenger did come to us and warn us about this day. وَلَكِنْ حَقَّتْ كَلِمَةُ الْعَذَابِ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ, but the word has been established upon the disbelieving individuals, the treacherous, yani, individuals. The word of torment has been established, yani, upon these individuals. After they've been admitted, they will be told, قِيلَ ادْخُلُوا أَبْوَابَ جَهَنَّمَ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا فَبِئْسَ مَثْوَى الْمُتَكَبِّرِينَ, so then they'll be told, قِيلَ ادْخُلُوا أَبْوَابَ جَهَنَّمَ, enter into the doors of Jahannam and reside for eternity inside there. Likewise, find indirect ayat inside the Quran talking about the gates of hell, وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِآيَاتِنَا هُمْ أَصْحَابُ الْمَشْأَمَةِ عَلَيْهِمْ نَارٌ مُؤْصَدَةٌ. You can read the works of Tafasir talk about مُؤْصَدَةٌ. Ibn Abbas mentioned that مُؤْصَدَةٌ is literally means to shut over them. The gates will be locked over them. So this shows that something which is locked needs to have a gate or a door, yani, which is shut. Other ulama mentioned, yani, as Mujahid, that yani, in the dialect of the Quraysh, it means something which is locked or something which is shut. So talking about the doors of Jahannam will be shut, yani, upon them. Likewise, we find that other ulama begin to talk about other similar ayat inside the Quran. نار الله الموقدة التي تطلع على الأفئدة إنها عليهم مؤصدة في عمد ممددة. Here you find once again talking about it will be a vault with outstretched any columns which will be outside any of Jahannam, and that will be closed upon them. Gates will be stretched out. It is a pillar of iron that we find, and then you find that there will be bolts that will be placed from outside which will seal them and make sure that the furnace, that the burning hell begins to enrage more, yani, in burning, as Ibn Rajab in his book At-Takhwif Min An-Nar, yani, mentions. Who is standing, yani, at the gates, yani, of hell, the keepers of hell, as the Quran mentions. وَقَالَ لَهُمْ خَزَنَتُهَا. The keepers of hell will say to those individuals who have disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, you find, وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ فِي النَّارِ لِخَزَنَةِ جَهَنَّمْ. The people of Jahannam will say to the keepers of hell, يعني عُدْعُوا رَبَّكُمْ يُخَفِّفْ عَنَّا يَوْمًا مِنَ الْعَذَابِ. They'll call upon the keepers of hell, يعني call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make يعني تخفيف, lessen the punishment of hell for us, or take away the punishment slightly away from us. However, as we mentioned in the beginning, that these keepers are stern and harsh. يعني there are different types of angels, but the angels which have been placed upon Jahannam, as we began with, they are those individuals, يعني عليها مَلَائِكَةٌ غِلَاظٌ شِدَادٌ. They are stern and harsh angels. These are not soft and lenient angels who have been placed there. These are harsh angels who have been placed there to guard people, to make sure they remain يعني, inside Jahannam. وَمَا جَعَلْنَا عِدَّتَهُمْ إِلَّا فِتْنَةً لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. So the number of angels have been placed يعني, around Jahannam, or the gatekeepers we find, it's only a form of fitna. عَلَيْهَا 19 angels. If you read the books of Tafasid, the Quraysh said, if it's only 19 angels, we'll fight them, we'll kill them, and we'll come out, and we'll escape. But these angels that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَمَا جَعَلْنَا عِدَّتَهُمْ إِلَّا فِتْنَةً لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. The number doesn't really make any difference. It's not the number. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to allow these individuals to escape yani, from yani, Jahannam. As for the main yani, gatekeeper that we find, وَنَادَوْ يَا مَالِكْ لِيَقْضِي عَلَيْنَا رَبُّكْ قَالَ إِنَّكُمْ مَاكِثُونَ. So they call upon Malik. Malik is the name of the yani, the gatekeeper of Jahannam. Likewise, in a famous hadith about the Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj, where the Prophet Muhammad made the night journey, the ascension that we find, whereby he saw people yani, inside Jahannam, or people being punished inside the grave, and then he saw that individual with a repulsive image of face and burning, igniting the fire. And at the end of the hadith, when he posed the question, he's told that the individual that you saw, that was Malik, yani, who is the gatekeeper, or the one who looks after yani, Jahannam. Now, as a person yani, becomes closer to Jahannam and sees the vast extent yani, of Jahannam, as we find inside the Quran, it says, وَجِيءَ يَوْمَئِذٍ بِجَهَنَّمْ. On that day, Jahannam will be brought forth. And a hadith actually explains yani, what this verse means. Hell will be brought forth that day by means of 70,000 ropes, each of which will be held by 70,000 angels, in the hadith inside yani, Sahih Muslim. And hell will be able to accommodate the huge number of kuffar, huge number of disbelievers and evildoers who have existed yani, throughout history. It is like a mill which continuously grinds. It's making more and more space for more and more people to enter into Jahannam. يَوْمَ نَقُولُ لِجَهَنَّمَ هَلْ امْتَلَأْتِ وَتَقُولُ هَلْ مِمْ مَزِيدٍ. When people think that Jahannam is full, but Jahannam will say, هَلْ مِمْ مَزِيدٍ. Is there more to come into me? Let them come. There's enough sufficient space for people to enter into Jahannam. And likewise, ulama have used this verse that Jahannam will actually can yani, speak and see. As you find yani, in the hadith in the Sunnah of Tirmidhi, proving his point, likewise based upon another verse inside the Quran, إِذَا رَأَتْهُم مِّن مَكَانٍ بَعِيدٍ سَمِعُوا لَهَا تَغَيُّرًا وَزَفِيرًا. When they see it from the Jahannam sees the people coming from a faraway place, the Jahannam will let out yani, a rage and a roaring, which ulama have depicted. This is a form that Jahannam will actually speak yani, to yani, these yani, individuals. وَتَقُولُ هَلْ مِن مَزِيدٍ. Returning back yani, to this main ayah that we find in the prophetic hadith in Bukhari and Muslim, both paradise and hell will be filled, but hell will not be filled until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places his foot in it, and it will say yani, enough, enough. So whereby more space will be made for the millions of creation that we find, to such a degree that the greatest any creations, or the biggest creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sun and the moon will be there, and the sun and the moon will be rolled up like two bulls in hell on the day of resurrection. We find the hadith in Silsilatul Hadith al-Sahihah of Shaykh Nasiruddin al-Albani rahmatullahi alayh. Likewise, we find what shows the vast depth of Jahannam in a famous hadith in Muslim,
that we were with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we heard the sound of something falling. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Do you know what that was?" We said, "Allah and His Messenger know best." He said, "That was a stone that was thrown into hell 70 years ago, and it was falling through hell until right now it landed." So 70 years ago, this stone was thrown, and right now that sound that you heard was the dropping or the touching of that stone to the bottom of hell. Likewise, you find even inside the Quran talking about the depth of Jahannam, and indirectly, إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِي الدَّرْكِ لِأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ. Indeed, the munafiqeen will be in the lowest depth of the hellfire. The bottom end of the hellfire will be reserved for the munafiqoon. Likewise, we mentioned فَأُمُّهُ هَاوِيَةٌ, that the person's mother will be هَاوِيَةٌ, the bottomless pit, يعني, will be the place of that individual. As for the intensity of the heat, يعني, that we find in a hadith in Bukhari, that the fire of Jahannam is not an ordinary fire, when some Muslims begin to think, "Well, I'll go into Jahannam for a short while and then I'll come out and I'll stroll into paradise." I always give this parable: go home and switch on British gas and place your hand there for a minute or so and see what happens to you. Your fire is one of 70 portions of the hellfire. Would it not be sufficient to burn the wrongdoers? At that, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "The hellfire has 69 more portions than ordinary worldly fire, and all of them are as hot as this worldly fire." Likewise, find Quranic description of a blazing fire: وَعَدَّ لَهُمْ سَعِيرًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared this blazing punishment for them. وَيَسْلَى سَعِيرًا نَارٌ حَامِيَةٌ نَارًا تَلَظَّى وَأَصْحَابُ الشِّمَالِ مَا أَصْحَابُ الشِّمَالِ فِي سَمُومٍ, in a fierce hot wind. These are all different depictions of words inside the Quran talking about the nature of the punishment of the fire. And a scorching fire will not lessen مَأْوَاهُمْ جَهَنَّمْ كُلَّمَا خَبَتْ زِدْنَاهُمْ سَعِيرًا. This fire that you find, whenever it abates, it lessens, it's ignited once again to make sure that the burning rage and the torture, the fire, the intense heat is kept at a maximum level. فَذُوقُوا فَلَن نَزِيدَكُمْ إِلَّا عَذَابًا. Taste. Carry on tasting the punishment of the hellfire. This will be your punishment for you, any individuals. And likewise, if I'm refueled on the day of resurrection, وَإِذَا الْجَحِيمُ سُعِرَتْ وَإِذَا الْجَنَّةُ أُزْلِفَتْ. On that day when you find that Jahannam will be kindled to a fierce blaze on that day. Likewise, we find that Jahannam, we find the intensity of Jahannam. That's why you find the hadith of Bukhari, that fever is from the breath, from the heat of the hellfire, so cool it with water. And that's what we find in summer, we find immense heat, in the winter we find the bitter cold that we find. Rather, this is the hellfire to have a breather or to have a slight break, because we find one in winter when it's severely cold and one in summer when it becomes severely hot. So also, if we reflect upon how when a person comes into a state of a fever or illness, how their skin or their color begins to become a pale color. So relay this back to even in Jahannam, that how people, their skin color and their texture will change of the individual. سَأُصْلِيهِ سَقَرْ وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا سَقَرْ لَا تُبْقِي وَلَا تَذَرْ لَوَّاحَةٌ لِلْبَشَرِ. That this enraging fire, saqar, it will change, darken and change the color of mankind, is what this fire of Jahannam will do. Likewise, we find that hell was kindled for 1,000 years till it became red. Then it was kindled for 1,000 years till it became white. Then it was kindled for another 1,000 years till it became black. Therefore, it is black and dark, the fire. Another hadith we find: do you think that it is red like this ordinary fire of yours? No, it is blacker than tar, in the hadith in the Muwatta of Imam Malik. What kindles the fire? What is the fuel of Jahannam? إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَن تُغْرِيَ عَنْهُمْ أَمْوَالُهُمْ وَلَا أَوْلَادُهُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ شَيْئًا وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ وَقُودُ النَّارِ. Those people who disbelieve, their wealth and their children will not avail them or benefit them in any manner. Those individuals, وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ وَقُودُ النَّارِ. قُودُ النَّارِ, that which is the fuel of the hellfire, will be disbelievers. Will be, as we find, the men and stones will be the fuel of hellfire. فَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا وَلَنْ تَفْعَلُوا فَاتَّقُوا النَّارَ الَّتِي وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةُ أُعِدَّتْ لِلْكَافِرِينَ. So these people cannot bring something like the Quran, they're never going to be able to do it. Then fear that fire whose fuel is men and stones, which has been prepared for the disbelieving individuals. Likewise, as we began with, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِكُمْ نَارًا. Oh, you believe, save yourselves and your family members from the hellfire, whose fuel is وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةُ, whose fuel once again is men and stones. So the people will be the disbelievers, the disbelievers and mushrikun are the main source of the fuel, yani for Jahannam. As for the stone that we find, what type of stone will be inside Jahannam? We find the opinion of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, it will be either brimstone or sulfur. Ibn Rajab in his book At-Takhwif Min An-Nar begins to highlight why sulfur will be the type of any stone that will be, or torture will be inside Jahannam. He mentions five elements that exist there, because it catches fire very quickly, has a very unpleasant odor, it produces a lot of smoke, it sticks to flesh, and very hot when it is heated. This is only his own ijtihad. There could be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could create another element, another stone that exists inside Jahannam. But this just gives us some form of parable or some form of understanding of what type of of punishment will reside for those individuals who will have to enter into Jahannam. Likewise, we find ulama have collected that the fuel of Jahannam will be the false gods that people used to worship. And thus you find that some of them began to say, well, if Isa is going into Jahannam, we're going to go into him. But Isa never claimed to be a god, etc. So he will not be entering into Jahannam. Likewise, what comes to mind, that many people begin to think that if Jahannam is so fierce and the punishment is so intense, then how can the human being begin to bear this punishment? This small human being that we find, if it's placed inside that fire, it will just shrivel away instantly. But we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will change the nature and the size of the human being to go back to his or her original size. And one reason, as Imam Nawawi mentions, is so that the person can actually taste the punishment. The person will go back to becoming 60 cubits, etc. and enter into Jahannam in the full size. The distance between the shoulders of the disbeliever in hell will be like 3 days traveling for a fast rider in a hadith inside Sahih Muslim. The molar tooth of a disbeliever or the canine tooth of an unbeliever will be like Mount Uhud. And the thickness of his skin will be like 3 nights journey in the hadith inside Sahih Muslim. Indeed, the thickness of the disbeliever's skin will be 42 cubits thick, and his molar will be like Uhud, and the space he occupies will be as wide as the distance between Mecca and Medina in Sunan of Imam Tirmidhi. So the human being will be magnified on that day to be able, this punishment on that day. And likewise, you find the various actions that many people will do that could end them to be exposed to the punishment inside Jahannam. If you read that famous hadith we mentioned about the night journey, in there it mentions individuals who are going to be exposed to certain punishment, and either before entering into Jahannam inside the grave, they will be exposed to the fire inside the grave, whether it be backbiting, spreading of rumors, not paying attention to drops of urine dropping upon the clothing or the body of the individual. You find people committed zina will be exposed to tanur, the furnace of fire, in a state of nudity, will be burning, and they will burn their bodies away, then come back to normal and burn them again. So all of these elements have been placed there for Muslim to begin to think. They're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save the person from the punishment of Jahannam. That is the ultimate success. And that's a person shouldn't find it trivial, because especially in today's world that we find everything becomes trivial. This will be in Jahannam for a short while, then will come out and enter into Jannah. Or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ghafoor Rahim. No, the creed of Ahl Sunnah is a person has love, hope and fear. That is the creed of Ahl Sunnah. We love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the numerous blessings and bounties upon us. We hope that we'll be, our sins will be forgiven and will be pardoned. And we fear that if we disbelieve or we carry out bad actions or disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we could be facing that punishment. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq and ability to understand and to study Jannah and Jahannam with the intent to help ourselves to enter into paradise swiftly, and to help ourselves to drive ourselves away from that punishment of Jahannam. وَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ لَلِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِجَمِيعِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فَاسْتَغْفِرُ النَّوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ سُبْحَانَكُمْ وَبِحَمْدِكُ شُرُ اللَّهِ إِلَّا إِلَّا أَنْتَ اسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ بارك